This spring, if you'd rather spend time enjoying your lawn instead of trying to keep it alive, there's good news. TruGreen is the easiest and most affordable way to get a beautiful lawn. All you have to do is water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and even some things you might not even think of. They'll do all of it, while you can do literally anything else. With True Green, you could have your lawn looking as good as a putting green. That's not hyperbole. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. True Green offers a satisfaction guarantee, and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people guaranteed.
That is Hurricane Ida. She blasts Louisiana, trapping people in floodwaters and ripping buildings apart. We welcome you to CBS This Morning. It's Monday, August 30th, 2021. We've got team coverage all along the path of the storm. It has already turned deadly and left the city of New Orleans in the dark.
Hospitals on the brink due to COVID are in harm's way. We'll talk to one New Orleans doctor about how they're keeping patients safe.
And rockets are fired toward the Kabul airport after a U.S. drone strike kills more suspected terrorists. The latest on the final hours of the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan.
But first, here's today's eye-opener. It's your world in 90 seconds.
You're seeing some of the peak intensity right now. Debris being sprayed everywhere. Buildings like over here, the roof ripped completely off.
Hurricane Ida made landfall in Louisiana, battering the southeastern Gulf Coast with an onslaught of water and dangerous winds.
The storm exactly 16 years to the day after Hurricane Katrina.
This is going to cause catastrophic damage.
This is a major, major storm that's going to test us in ways that we've not been tested before.
This is one of the worst foreign policy decisions in American history.
In Afghanistan, the U.S. military is racing to complete its withdrawal by Tuesday.
In Kabul, a drone strike blew up a vehicle that was carrying suicide bombers from ISIS-K.
This is an exceedingly dangerous moment in an exceedingly dangerous mission.
The Delta variant surge continues.
The U.S. averaging 1,000 deaths a day, the highest number since March.
All that.
This ball driven to center. It's playable.
Michigan winning their first Little League World Series since 1959.
And all that matters.
Hollywood is mourning the loss of a television giant, actor Ed Asner.
You got spunk. I hate spunk.
On CBS This Morning.
Former Saints quarterback Drew Brees sent out a message to everyone out there going through this hurricane.
It's really tough, and my heart is with the city of New Orleans right now. I know this. New Orleans has been through so much, and I know how resilient our city is. Obviously, this is significant, but I know New Orleans will bounce back, but it's going to be tough for a while.
This morning's eye-opener is presented by Progressive, making it easy to bundle insurance.
He's right. New Orleans has been through a lot. Michelle Miller, you know this area very well.
Yes, I do.
It happens in New Orleans, always bounces back. And that's, of course, where we're going to begin, because we are tracking Tropical Storm Ida, which slammed into the Gulf Coast as one of the strongest hurricanes ever to hit the U.S. mainland. It's powerful. It's an extremely dire situation for some right now in Louisiana. Ida came ashore with wind gusts of up to 172 miles an hour. Wow. At least one person has been killed, and that toll is expected to rise. We've got team coverage of this monster storm with correspondents all across Louisiana. We're going to begin with Vladimir Dutier. He's in Albany. Vlad, good morning to you. What are you seeing right now?
Gail, good morning to you. Where we are right now, we know that the Hurricane Ida has been downgraded to a tropical storm, but it does not mean by any means that things are not safe. Things are still very, very serious. Just take a look at this. This is video from Port Fortin, Louisiana, as the storm was just making landfall there yesterday. And this is the exact spot. This is the same exact spot during the peak winds and rain a few hours later. Ida is causing devastation across the state, including in New Orleans, where the entire city of nearly 400,000 has lost power. Across Louisiana, more than 1 million people are in the dark. New Orleans officials say they are working to use generators to pump stormwater out and drinking water in. Let's head over right now to Omar Villafranca, Okay, we're having a little bit of a connection issue, but let's go over to Omar Villafranca. He's in the heart of New Orleans right now, just a block from City Hall, where at least one building has been partially devastated, collapsed in the wind. Omar, good morning. What are you seeing?
Good morning. This is the kind of damage that people in New Orleans are waking up to. This building was over 100 years old, survived Katrina, dozens of other hurricanes, but Ida's wind gusts here were almost 100 miles an hour and turned it into a pile of bricks. And I want to take you over here so you can kind of see how widespread this destruction is. Part of that building collapsed on this car over here, right on the hood. In fact, the blinkers are still on this vehicle. And this is just a sample of the destruction that Ida left across the state.
The wrath of Ida was on full display Sunday across Louisiana.
Oh, that proof is coming. Holy.
This dashcam video captured the dangerous conditions in Houma. Wind lifted the roof off this building and sent it flying down the street, ripping down power lines.
Oh my God. Yo.
Powerful gusts toward the top off this medical clinic. Damaged the roof of this hospital near New Orleans.
Ida's winds are ripping through the French Quarter right now. Some of these wind gusts are over 100 miles per hour. The power is going in and out, and we're starting to see debris ripped off the roofs.
The winds brought down this awning in the French Quarter and later knocked out power to the entire city, plunging more than a million customers across the state into darkness. Mayor LaToya Cantrell had warned residents to prepare for the worst.
This is very serious. We need you to stay in from this point forward all morning, all afternoon, all evening.
The storm made landfall around midday, slamming into Port Fouchon with gusts up to 172 miles per hour, flooding homes along Grand Isle where 40 residents ignored a mandatory evacuation order. Security camera footage at this firehouse in Delacroix shows how fast the waters came. 1 hour later, storm surge had swallowed the road. As Ida charged inland, 110 mile per hour winds tore down trees and power lines and toppled buildings. While those caught in Ida's path called for help, help couldn't make it out in the storm.
For a condo, subject of Ida, the wall blew out. Request and rescue.
Not responding to calls like that, and it's too dangerous to put our guys out in harm's way.
Here in New Orleans, the levee system that was rebuilt after Katrina, most of it seems to have withstood Ida. We're hearing reports that one levee may have failed, but the major problem here is now going to be the lack of power. The only reason you're able to see us is because we brought our own generators. Eight major transmission lines and one giant tower were destroyed, which could leave New Orleans in the dark for days, maybe even longer. And keep in mind, we're still in summer and still in hurricane season, so that could be a very big problem in the future. Vlad?
Omar, thank you very much. A big problem, but thankfully, as you say, those levees are holding. We're all reminded of what happened in Katrina all those years ago. Thank you very much. Much of southeastern Louisiana was put under mandatory evacuation orders before Ida hit as a Category 4 hurricane yesterday. Tens of thousands of people fled to safety, including folks that are where our Maria Villarreal is in Houma, Louisiana. Maria.
Hey, good morning, Vlad. So take a look. This is what is happening in downtown Houma right now, Louisiana. This is a small community, about 33,000 people, and this is pretty much the way all of the buildings look here in the heart of this city, downtown off of Main Street. Buildings are almost all collapsed here in this area. We've seen power lines everywhere, debris. So as the sun rises here in Houma, really what we're going to be taking a hard look at is the damage. And some of the damage that people need to assess and are going to carefully look at is what happened to the local hospitals. So here's what we know. Hospitals are starting to see the damage already. They were assessing overnight. The state's largest hospital system, Oxnard, says that they are reporting roof damage and water leaks at several of its facilities. Some locations in New Orleans and the Bayou region are already on backup generators. We know and we heard that that was happening here in Houma as well. Now take a look. This is the view from the 10th floor of one of the facilities in Jefferson. Watch as debris from the roof flies off. It looks like it's going to hit someone. Now, on Sunday, the CEO of this health system said that some of its smaller rural hospitals had already started to proactively evacuate patients before Ida made landfall. We saw those ambulances leaving HOMA just a few days ago, trying to make sure that the most critical got out of this area. Patients at two other hospitals, one in Raceland with 21 patients and another here in HOMA that has 45 patients, will soon be evacuating two other facilities as soon as this morning. Now, the hospital system says that any facilities in this area could be affected by Ida for about 10 days. What they are saying right now is as they are affected, we do understand that they have supplies that will keep them up and running for at least 10 days on top of the generators that they already have. We have spoken to a number of evacuees, some that are staying in our hotel. We do not have power, did not have power, went out late yesterday. And so really what a lot of these evacuees are saying is we're going to try and somehow make it home to check on our loved ones, to check on our homes, to see what the damage is. But we don't even know if we're going to get here. So really, as the sun rises, we're going to see a lot of people come out and really figure out what has happened to their communities. Vlad?
Medea, thank you very much. I know you'll be following those individuals as they make their way homes. Thank you so much. This is only the start of a very, very long day here in Louisiana. It may be hours before we actually learn of the full extent of the devastation right here where we are in Louisiana. Michelle.
Yes, and time will tell, as we all know that very well. Vlad, thank you so much. CBS News meteorologist and climate specialist Jeff Berardelli is tracking Ida's path. And as we know it, Jeff, she's not done yet.
No, we have several days. In fact, this is going to hit the northeast with at least 4 to 8 inches of rain and very dangerous flash flooding. So we are not even close to done. But let's talk about what's happening right now. And what we have is a storm that has weakened to a tropical storm, but it still has a ton of tropical moisture. And going forward, that is the big story. It is going to be rainfall. But look at this. Look at these wind gusts, 172, 166, 153. Some of the highest winds we've ever seen in Louisiana, and tremendous storm surge as well. Now, this moisture is still going to be funneling in during the day today. Look at this tropical conveyor belt of moisture that's going to be surging in. So, you know, way east of New Orleans, we're going to see very heavy rain along the coast of Mississippi, Alabama, and then northward from there. How much rain have we seen? Some places, as much as 15 inches of rain so far. We're going to pile on top of that, especially east of the storm. There's the forecast track. It'll be in Tennessee during the day tomorrow. And then as we head into Thursday, it'll be in the northeast. And the rain is going to pile up. Take a look at that in parts of Pennsylvania, Maryland, and then the northeast, which has already had two tropical systems and a lot of heavy rain in the last month. We'll see another 4 to 8 inches of rain. Deadly flooding is possible for the next 3 to 4 days.
All right, Jeff, thank you.
Captain Chris Holzer is the commanding officer of the Coast Guard Aviation Training Center in Mobile, Alabama. That is one of the main sites where the Coast Guard is launching aircraft for its response to Hurricane Ida. Captain Holzer, good morning to you. What can you tell us this morning about the search and rescue plan as we see daylight reaching Louisiana?
Hey, good morning, Tony. First, thanks to you and your team for your focus on this. And of course, our hearts go out to everybody in the Gulf Coast right now. We have planned a massive response to Hurricane Ida, and it actually started a couple days ago. We started flowing forces here to the Mobile area on the east of the storm and to the Houston area on the west of the storm. And the goal was, as soon as storm passes, we're going to launch the first of a wave of aircraft to go into the operating area from the east. And that wave will include airplanes and helicopters, all fitted for search and rescue. They'll be surveying the New Orleans and the western area for habitability for anybody that's in distress. And then, of course, looking at the waterways, if there's any environmental pollution or any maritime disaster that we need to take care of.
What concerns you most as you begin to send aircraft into the aftermath?
Well, first and foremost, you know, we are accepting risk when we take off pre-dawn in the storm with high winds, but that's acceptable risk for our air crews because we know that there are people that are in need on the Gulf Coast right now. And then the concern becomes, how big is this event? Is this a manageable event that we can call out each individual rescue, or is it an event where we just need to keep sending assets as quick as we can to keep pulling people off of rooftops, you know, from their homes, that type of thing.
Well, once that initial survey of the damage and the needs is done, how does the Coast Guard prioritize pickups?
Everybody should be told to call 911 because all of our federal partners are working together to triage where's the most need. And that's what will surge our assets so that we can get to the people in the right amount of time. And whether that's people in boats, in helicopters, or even directing people where to go.
You're in Alabama. The damage from Ida, we know, will be across multiple states. How are you coordinating with local officials and state officials to maximize what you have to offer there?
So one of the things that the Coast Guard does is that we embed officers in all of the state, local, and federal emergency operations center so that we've got tremendous unity of effort. One of the first things that I did at my 700-person base is that I sent people out to all of those different organizations, and everywhere along the Coast Guard that has happened as well so that we can all respond together.
All right, Captain Chris Holzer, commanding officer of the Coast Guard Aviation Training Center in Mobile, Alabama, and just minutes away from takeoff and daylight down there on the Gulf Coast. Captain, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Tony.
We have other news this morning, including the final U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. It is now just hours away. Now, this could be the most dangerous phase yet. Rockets were fired toward the Kabul airport overnight after a U.S. drone strike hit a vehicle loaded with explosives. Two suspected ISIS members were killed there. The attempted attacks are not stopping flights from leaving the airport, though. Charlie Daggett is tracking the final push to get Americans out of Afghanistan. Charlie, good morning to you. It's getting very dicey there.
Very dicey indeed, Gail. Yes, U.S. defense officials tell CBS News that rocket attack happened just after dawn. A U.S. missile defense system was able to shoot down some of them, or they never made it to the airport. Either way, nobody was injured, and the evacuation continued uninterrupted.
A burnt-out shell is all that's left of the vehicle that's said to have served as the launch pad for this morning's rocket attacks. At least five rockets sprayed in the direction of the airport anyway, some landing in nearby neighborhoods, others shot down by the missile defense system. The attempted attack comes a day after the Pentagon confirmed it conducted a second U.S. drone strike to target ISIS-K. A U.S. defense official tells CBS News the strike was ordered after two men were seen loading explosives into the trunk of a car. It's unclear whether they were rigging a car bomb or loading up explosive vests, but it was deemed to be an imminent threat to the airport. Taliban officials and Afghan media said instead the blast killed nine civilians, including a number of small children. The Pentagon has acknowledged there could be civilian casualties. As one of the largest airlifts in U.S. history now enters its final hours, American forces are focusing on getting themselves out of Afghanistan safely after helping more than 120,000 civilians escape. Those who didn't make it to the airport have been making a break for the border of neighboring countries like Pakistan by the hundreds of thousands. The U.S. State Department said there may be some U.S. citizens who don't make the deadline, along with thousands of Afghans granted U.S. visas who are left behind. But National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan told Ed O'Keefe on Face the Nation the Taliban won't stand in their way.
The Taliban have both communicated to us privately and publicly that they will allow for safe passage. We're not just going to take their word for it.
He said there would be significant consequences if the Taliban do not follow through, not just diplomatic and economic, but other tools would be brought to bear. Tony?
Charlie Daggett for us in Doha. Charlie, thank you.
Thank you for listening to the CBS This Morning podcast.
Be sure to subscribe to get daily podcast originals. You can watch the CBS This Morning broadcast Monday through Saturday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on your local CBS station or live on the CBS All Access app.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. Auto Trader.